Good evening. It's good to see each of you tonight. It's such a blessing to be able to assemble and to be together. I'd like to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight. It's always a great honor to be asked, and I appreciate that very much. I always learn a great deal myself from preparing sermons, and I hope that what we talk about tonight will be something that will be very helpful to each of us and applicable to each of us, and we can take something from it, and more than anything, that it's scriptural. Tonight, I really want to take a few moments to direct our minds on the topic of tonight's lesson. The topic of tonight's lesson is Fishers of Men, Seeking and Saving the Lost. Fishers of Men, Seeking and Saving the Lost. This phrase, Fishers of Men, was used by Jesus as he spoke to Simon Peter and spoke to Andrew at the Sea of Galilee. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to be using our Bibles tonight to flip a few scriptures. I'm not going to be using a PowerPoint tonight. So if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus called Simon Peter and Andrew to be fishers of men. And we know from Scripture that Simon Peter and Andrew became exactly that, didn't they? Peter spent the remainder of his life serving God, taking the gospel to others, and proclaiming the good news, rather than just casting for mere fish, which was his profession. He was a fisherman. He would be a servant of Jesus Christ, and he would be casting the net of the gospel abroad to seek and to save the lost. The purpose of tonight's lesson is really a lesson of encouragement. When you're asked to prepare a sermon, one of the things that comes to mind right off the bat is, what's an area of weakness for me? What's something I need to hear? And this is an area where I think I need to grow. Encouragement for each of us to become fishers of men if we're not. And if we are fishing for men, to maybe do more. There are so many people today in the world who are spiritually confused. They're distracted. There's so many things that are distractions. What's so interesting about the last few days is a lot of those distractions don't exist, do they? The sports, they're not going on. All these different activities, they're not going on right now. But so many people are distracted in their everyday lives. So many are led astray by false doctrine. They're sincerely wrong, as we studied during the gospel meeting. But they're sincere. And there are so many who are just generally lost. Many of these people
are our family members. They're our co-workers.
They're people that we see out in the community on a regular basis.
They're our friends. And some may say, you know, I'm a Christian, but am I really commanded to take the gospel to them? Am I really commanded to fish for men? Is that my responsibility? I thought we had a preacher for that. I thought that was maybe somebody else's job. Well, let's answer that question first. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. If you'll flip there with me. Very short passage that Jesus said is very important. Luke 19, and verse 10. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming to earth, the whole purpose of Him suffering such a horrific death, the whole purpose of Him being resurrected, was to seek and to save the lost. This was the great plan by God the Father, was to seek and to save the lost. And consider that we each bear the name of Jesus Christ. When we become a Christian and we put Him on in baptism, as Galatians 3:27 states, we put on Christ. We are even called by the unique name and the special name of Christian. We had a lesson recently where Doug talked about what that word really means, and Christian means being a follower of Christ, someone who follows in His steps, someone who imitates Jesus Christ. We are to crucify the flesh, we are to crucify our own desires, and we are actually to allow Christ to live in us. It's from Galatians 2, verse
Christ is to live in us. So if we bear the name of Christ and we call ourselves a Christian, and if Christ lives in me and Christ lives in you, then shouldn't we be doing what Christ's purpose was? Shouldn't we be working to fulfill what his plan was and try to carry that out even farther? We should likewise be working to save the lost. A passage that really hits home, and it's a passage we all know well. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 28.
The Great Commission. The very end of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19. Jesus is giving instructions here. And Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. For I am with you always, even to the end of the age." As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are commanded to go and to be active in saving the lost. But some may say, you know, the Great Commission, look at who Jesus is speaking to here. Well, let's look. Matthew 28, verse 16. Who is Jesus speaking to here? He's speaking to the 11 disciples. He's speaking to the apostles. So some may say, you know, that instruction is not for me. That instruction was for the apostles. And I'll be honest, for a while I thought that. I thought, you know, this was a unique direction, unique command that was given just to the apostles. Well, let's look at that. Look at verse 20, just verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. What's to happen when the apostles took the gospel and people were converted and were baptized? What were those disciples then to be taught? They are to be taught to observe all that I commanded you. Well, what were the apostles commanded? Go back to verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples.
This is something for all of us. When a Christian is converted, they are to take the gospel to someone else.
And this furthers the gospel. And you think about how the boundaries of the kingdom are expanded because when a Christian takes the gospel to those that they know, and then those people that they know become disciples, the gospel is spread. And the word is furthered. Jesus also taught the significance of the lost being saved. We consider the parables in Luke chapter 15. You think about the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin. You think about the prodigal son. And in these parables, one thing that just stands out over and over and over again is the significance of a lost soul. And how when a sinner comes to repentance and a sinner comes to obedience, how the angels in heaven rejoice and how there's great joy in heaven over a sinner changing their ways and coming to obedience. As followers of Christ, we are to be seeking out the lost. We are to be saving them by sharing the message of the gospel. So likewise,
we are to be fishers of men.
Please turn with me to Luke chapter 5. This is where we're going to be spending the next several minutes of the sermon tonight. Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, we'll be beginning in verse 1 and looking at verses 1 through 11. The setting here is the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee is here referred to the Lake of Gennesaret. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it is the Sea of Galilee. It's another name for it. It was an ancient name for it. But here we find that Jesus was surrounded by a crowd. So let's look at these first two verses of Luke chapter 5. "Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets." So here in Luke chapter 5, what we find is that you have a crowd gathered to hear Jesus. And if we read some of the text prior to Luke chapter 5, I think we understand why they're gathered together. Jesus has been preaching in synagogues and teaching. That has drawn people to him. He has been doing miracles. He has cast out demons. He has healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He has healed men and women. And so people have drawn to him in great number, and these crowds have come to him so much that they are pressing around him. We also find that the crowd was not listening to the words of a mere man. But when you look there at verse 1, it states that they were listening to the word of God. And that ties in beautifully with what Andy presented this morning from John chapter 17, that Jesus in that prayer was actually saying to God in one section how grateful he was that the apostles and those that heard him understood that it wasn't just his words, but that it was from the Father. It was authority from the Father and took it as being from the Father. So these words that Jesus are speaking, or that he's speaking to the people, these were words from God. So it is God the Son, Jesus Christ, teaching the people words of life from God the Father. And Jesus here also sees two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left these two boats after fishing, and the fishermen were washing their nets after completing hours of fishing. Let's look at verses 3 and 4, beginning in verse 3. And he got into one of the boats, that's Jesus getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's. And he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Jesus got into Simon Peter's boat and he asked him to go out a little way, out from the land so that he could teach from the boat. We can perceive here that this must have been some type of crowd, a large group of people, so many that he felt like from the shore, I cannot reach all the people and speak to them adequately. So he asked Simon Peter, let me go out in your boat a little way so I can speak to the people. So he sits down on the boat and he begins to teach them. When he is done teaching them, he gives a direct instruction to Simon Peter. And he says to him, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Note what Jesus is asking Simon Peter to do here. What were the fishermen doing right before this? The two boats are vacant and they're washing their nets. They're not fishing right now. They're done fishing, right? And we'll know why they were done fishing in just a moment, won't we? Let's look at verse 5. In verse 5 it reads, "Simon answered and said, 'Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets.'" What an amazing verse that is. Simon Peter's response states the honest facts. They were done fishing because they had no success whatsoever. They had caught nothing. Absolutely nothing. And what I think is amazing about that statement, too, is not only is he stating a truth to Jesus to say, "Master, we have caught nothing, but we've worked hard. All night we worked hard, and we caught nothing." So it was truth that Peter was saying to Jesus Christ in this response. And it may have even have sounded absurd to Simon Peter to hear such a statement from Jesus for him to go out and to cast. But how did Simon Peter respond after stating the situation and after stating the fact? Peter said, "But I will do as you say, and let down the nets." Simon Peter answered the Lord with not only the facts, but also with obedience. Peter obeyed the voice of the Lord, and although he had no success all night catching fish, he was willing to go out in the deep water and let down the nets one more time. He acted in faith. So what happened when he let down the nets? Let's look at verses 6 and 7. "When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink." Simon Peter and the other fishermen, they obeyed the voice of the Lord. They go out into the deep water, they cast their nets. And what happens? They catch a great quantity of fish. Pretty amazing to think about. Their nets are breaking. The nets are breaking. I would think these are probably very large nets. The nets are breaking. They signaled to the other boat. They needed help. "Come help us. Bring the other boat. There's too many fish for us." They even filled both boats with the fish. And there were so many fish that both of these boats begin to sink. Imagine being on the shore. You had just heard Jesus the Lord speak. And you watch this whole situation of Jesus talking to Simon Peter to go out into the deep and to cast and let the nets down. And you're watching the abundance of fish and watching these boats sink. What an amazing sight. Wouldn't it also have been amazing to think about it from Simon Peter's perspective? You worked all night. You didn't catch one fish. And here you are. There are fish everywhere. Sinking the boats even. So how did Simon Peter react to seeing this? Let's look at verses 8 and 9. In verse 8, "But when Simon Peter saw that, seeing the boat fill with fish and it beginning to sink, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of the fish which they had taken. Peter was a fisherman by trade. He had fished, I'm sure, many, many, many years. Do you think he had ever seen anything quite like this before? Never. Never. This was unique, and he knew it was unique. Simon Peter falls at the feet of Jesus, and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Simon Peter was in awe of Jesus. He was in awe of his power. He was in awe of his might. He was in awe of his ability, what he could control. The might and the power of Jesus seemed to magnify to Peter his own shortcomings. It magnified his own inadequacies, his own sin, that he was nothing like Jesus. So Simon Peter falls before Jesus humbly and in amazement and in awe. Let's look at verses 10 and 11. "And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee," which is stating here that they also were in amazement at what they had seen, "who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men.' When they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him." In verse 10, we find a key teaching point that I believe Peter would remember the rest of his life. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." The miracle obviously got the attention of those who witnessed it, got the attention of Simon Peter, got the attention of John and James and all who were there. It would have had a great impact upon them. They left their boats. They left everything at their response of what they had just seen. They decided to become fishers of men and to leave it all to follow Jesus Christ. So what points does this passage make about being a fisher of men or catching men and trying to spread the gospel? Well, first of all, we are tempted oftentimes to never even begin fishing. Satan doesn't want us to ever fish for men. That's obvious. I think that's very obvious. We know very well of Junior and Sandy's love of fishing, don't we? Right? I wish so badly that Junior was here tonight. You'll have to tell him I preached about him. But hoping and praying that everything goes well for him and everything gets fixed with his health in the next few days. But we know well of their love of fishing. So imagine that Junior and Sandy invite you to go fishing with them. All right, that sounds like fun, right? So I go home, and let's say I've got some fishing poles, and I've got a tackle box, and I've got bait, and I've got all the equipment. I gather it all up, and I go to wherever we're fishing at, a lake or a pond or wherever we're at. And when I unload the car and I'm walking over to Junior and Sandy, I see them just sitting on the bank with nothing. And I walk over and say, "Junior and Sandy, where's your equipment? Where's your fishing poles? I thought we were fishing today." And they just shrug. How many fish are they going to catch today? Unless I share my equipment, by the way. But let's say we don't. How many fish are Junior and Sandy going to catch? None. Why? They're not fishing. They're not fishing. And that's so true for us. How many souls will I save if I don't do anything? None. None. I have to go. The Great Commission states, go. I have to do something. Also, this passage teaches us that we are tempted so often to not let down our nets. It's so easy to be tempted to not let down our nets. Jesus could have made the fish literally jump in the boat. Think about that. Did Jesus have the power right then just to say, "Fish, come in the boat"? They don't even have to go out into the deep. Let's just flood the boat right here. Could Jesus have done that? Yes. He didn't, though. Why? Miracles take faith. Things take work. Simon Peter had to act in faith. All these things had to come about. And so when we are commanded to go and let down the nets, we have to act also. How many fish will we catch if we won't even cast into the water? How many fish will we catch if we won't even let down the nets? Too often we just want God to make the fish jump into the boat. Just make them just jump into the boat. Make people just be saved. And that's just not how it works. And it didn't work that way here. Sometimes we just don't want to fish. We just don't want to let down the nets of the gospel message. And we just assume that hopefully, you know, if there's someone with a good and honest heart, they'll just drive past Southside Church of Christ, our church building, and they'll pull in the church parking lot. They'll hear a sermon and they'll become a Christian. But brethren, we know that's just not how it typically works. We know that's just not how it typically works. We have to do something. We have to be active, teaching and letting down our nets. It takes action on our part. The scripture also teaches us that sometimes we are tempted to refuse to go out into the deep water. To catch the fish, Jesus told them to take the boats into the deep water. Couldn't Jesus have brought the fish into the shallow water where they were? Sure, he could have. Simon Peter had to go into the deep water. And a lesson here concerning fishing for men is that we have to be prepared to go into the deep water. Sometimes reaching a lost soul is not convenient. It's very difficult. Maybe it's not at arm's length. It's someone who's way over there, and there's going to be obstacles all along the way that we're going to have to work through. It's not going to take one Bible study. It's going to take 87 Bible studies. It's not going to take 1 week. It's going to take 5 years. It's deep water. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go into the deep water? It might be an inconvenience. Am I willing to do it? We are also tempted to focus on the times that we didn't catch any fish, aren't we? That's how Simon Peter started, if you remember his statement. How easy it is for us to focus on the discouragement of the times when we put out the nets, we cast the nets, and we caught absolutely nothing. We dwell on the times that we offered a Bible study and said, "Would you study the Bible with me?" And we were denied. We focus on the times when we had a gospel meeting coming up and we invited a coworker, a loved one, we sent out a flyer, and we were rejected. No response. They didn't come. We send letters of encouragement. We write cards to people, encouraging them to participate and to be involved and to come and hear the gospel, that they need to make changes in their life. And there's no response. They reject it. We think about the times when we talk to a coworker about Jesus or about the gospel, and they have no interest whatsoever in spiritual things. We dwell on the times that we have a loved one, a brother, a mother, a sister, whoever it may be that's a loved one, especially family in many cases. We try to share the gospel with them, and they give us a cold shoulder. The relationship at times is severed. We dwell on that. Simon Peter's initial response to the command of Jesus was, "Master, we worked hard all night. We caught nothing." He was saying, in essence, "Lord, I tried. It didn't work. Lord, I worked hard. I caught nothing." That's what he's saying. But thankfully, he didn't stop there, did he? And yet, Jesus wanted Simon Peter to do what? Go cast the nets again. Go cast one more time. You'll see what happens. If you have tried to reach the lost, are you dwelling on the times that did not come to fruition and they did not respond to the gospel? If you have tried to reach and teach the lost, are you caught up in the times that you caught nothing? And is that keeping you from casting again? We are also tempted to not leave everything to follow Christ and teach others. Verse 11, after Jesus said, "Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their nets to the land, they left everything and followed him. Those who have success in converting others do not do it by accident. It's not by happenstance. It's very intentional because they have made sacrifices to make it happen. They have made it a priority. That may mean that I have to leave various things that I participate in. You know, I really have this hobby I really like. I might have to give it up to have a Bible study with someone or go talk to someone about the gospel. You know, I might have to leave work a couple hours early when I maybe don't have to be there so late to go talk to someone. Maybe I have to adjust the way I spend my time. It might take that. Am I willing to make changes, big changes in certain cases, to be a fisher of men? And what should our response be to fishing for men? Well, after saying that he had caught nothing all night, Simon Peter said, "I will do as you say," and let down the nets. Simon Peter answered in faith. He answered in obedience when human logic would say, "Stop. There's no reason to cast the nets again. You haven't caught anything all night. There's no point at all." That's not how he responded. He acted in faith. Brethren, may we all take the Great Commission, the great command, to heart. What if we were all seeking to save the lost, each of us, so actively? And what if we put our faith in Christ to provide the increase? Jesus Christ said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Matthew 9, 37 through 38. The gospel has not lost its power. It is our responsibility to be fishers of men. It is our responsibility to go and to cast our nets, even at times into the deep water, and to trust in God to provide the increase. We know how things turned out in Luke chapter 5. We know how things turned out. As far as actual catching a fish, they caught so many fish that the nets were breaking. They had to call the other boat over. They filled both boats and the boats were sinking. We also know how things turned out for Simon Peter. That from this moment on, he spent his life putting God first, striving to serve God and spread the gospel to others. He would leave everything to go and seek and save the lost. Imagine you or I casting our nets and having such a great response that we have to call our brothers over, just like Simon Peter had to say, "Bring the other boats over, or bring the other boat over. We need help over here." Wouldn't that be amazing? If you had coworkers and loved ones and you had so many Bible studies lined up, I've got six people who want to have a Bible study. I have six people that are interested. I need help with this. Who can help me with it? What an exciting thing that would be. What an encouragement that would be. Let us be about the Father's business and find ways to be catching men and fishing for men. Tonight, salvation is offered to the lost. Tonight, I guess we're casting the net, aren't we? The gospel is being cast out to those who have strayed back into sin. If you've not obeyed the gospel, why haven't you? Why haven't you obeyed the gospel? Tonight, salvation is offered to you, and you can have your sins washed away. You can leave tonight as a new creature. And if you are a Christian tonight, you realize that you have sin in your life, sin that you have not repented of. There's no better time than tonight to make a drastic change. You can also leave here white as snow, pure in the eyes of God, by repenting of that sin and turning to Him. If you're subject tonight to the Lord's invitation, please come forward as together we stand and sing.